Father in heaven, we're so thankful to thee that we can be here in thy house in this day. Thankful, Lord, that we have come through another year and now look forward to one laid out before us, Father, with anticipation of where you may place us and what you'll do with us. And Lord, we pray that our spirits and minds could be focused in this day and in the days to come on the direction and inspiration and perhaps even admonition that we each need as we would seek to serve thee to the best of our abilities. And Father, we're thankful that as we can gather here, we're thankful that we can bring prayer petitions to thee and to lift dear ones up before thy throne, Lord. We pray for Tim, especially this morning, getting some tests done and trying to figure out what may or may not be wrong. Lord, what can seem like such a simple accident can be very troublesome and can have consequences. And Lord, we pray that that wouldn't be the case. We pray that it would be something simple and that the doctors could reassure him and the family that perhaps some rest is all that's necessary. But Lord, we're thankful that there are those that can be experts in these things and that you've blessed many to be able to interpret and understand how these feeble bodies work. And Lord, pray that you'd give direction to how best to care for him. Lord, we pray for Nick Meadner. Lord, we pray that you'd work in his life and that you would reveal yourself and your truth to him in a way that is clear and unmistakable, Father, that he might be able to embrace that gift of salvation that we cherish so much and rely completely upon. And Lord, we pray for the Friend family. We pray for Tom, especially for the children, as they mourn the loss of their dad and brothers and cousins and all those, Lord, that would be involved. Pray, a tragic passing. But Lord, we pray that you'd watch over them and encourage them and strengthen them in these days of mourning. Lord, pray now as we would look into your word that you'd speak to us from it and give us an inspiration as it's needful for each of our hearts. And for it all, we'll thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask you to turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I had thoughts this week that it would be more fun to look at Philippians 3, where it says, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are before. I thought that was a really good 20, you know, let's get rid of 2020 and just forget about it. And it was a flippant thought, but it was interesting how the Lord opened up a couple of verses and thoughts because of that. Let's read the passage first, and then maybe we can give a little explanation as to where some of these thoughts came from. We'll just read the first 12 verses. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of those things, though ye know them and established. And excuse me, I'm going to start over on verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Through verse 12. I had two experiences that I think the Lord was setting up to develop these thoughts, and coincidentally, one of them didn't happen until just yesterday when I was already pretty well into studying this passage a little bit. Last week, we had the chance to go down and see my in-laws in Washington, D.C., and on Saturday, the boys, we went and walked around the National Mall. Not, just to be clear, the National Mall is like where the monuments are, not the, well, there's no JCPenney's anymore, but the Sears and Macy's and all those kind of, the National Mall where the Washington Monument is there and the Lincoln Memorial and all of those monuments there in D.C. I've done that a couple of times in my life now, and I love it. I'm a history geek. But what struck me was I've been there before camp when it was 100 and some odd degrees, and it was miserable, miserably hot. And yet there were still people milling around, and it was busy, and it was noisy, and you just got a different perspective with having it be so hot. But on that, there was actually a Sunday morning before camp that we stopped there as we were driving down, and there was a baptismal service at the, I'll just say, the foot of the Lincoln Memorial. There was a baptismal service in the reflecting pool. And I thought, that's the coolest thing, not the coolest thing I've ever seen, but that's a remarkably cool thing. Well, this, a couple years ago, we were there again, and it was cooler, but not freezing. And we walked through the same monuments and looked at many things. And there were things that I noticed that were a little different. You know, it's the second time you go in a different season or something, you see things differently. I've never been there in the spring for the cherry blossoms. I'd like to do that, but I hear that that's like literally walking through the mall and is too busy and crowded. So I don't know that we'll ever get there for that. But this time when we went, it was completely different. It was freezing. It was freezing cold, and everyone had masks on. There was very, very few people there, and it was dead silent. And it wasn't because it said, you know, there are signs everywhere that say, this is a memorial site, please be, you know, respectful. But I've never been there. If I've been there four times or five times now, I've never been there when it was silent. And it was unsettling, but moving all at the same time. And a couple of things, just a couple of examples. Coincidentally, it was the first time that my father-in-law had ever been there. And so he was taking these things in for the first time. And just by virtue of the way we parked, we did see a new memorial we'd not seen before, and that was the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial, which I would encourage anybody to go to because it's striking. It's a giant, well, I won't even tell you what it is. It's look it up even online. You can see the pictures. It's striking to see how they've set this up. But what I noticed this time that I was making an effort to notice on all of them was the inscriptions. I'm not a big one for inscriptions. I run too fast usually when I had gone to the memorials or the monuments before, and I never read all of the inscriptions. And this time, maybe because it was so quiet, maybe because there weren't so many people, maybe because Ethan wanted to read them too, but we were reading the inscriptions along the wall there. And strikingly, the inscriptions on the MLK Memorial were not the, some of them were the familiar ones, but it was not, I have a dream. That wasn't on that wall, to the point where Ethan even said, well, how come they don't have that over here? Why is that not here? Now, you can ask him later. He found that inscription on the Lincoln Memorial a little bit later. But it was remarkable to see these inscriptions. So the next path as we walked was up to the Korean War Memorial.
I don't know if anybody's seen that one, but that one is haunting. We've been there before. It's a bunch of statues. It's actually 28 statues, I think. My math might be wrong, but a half a dozen statues, life-size, standing in arborvitae, like in a ground cover, but it looks like they're walking, even with their capes, well, not capes, but their ponchos, blowing in the wind. They're marble, like they're not moving, but they look like they're moving, and they're walking toward a reflecting pool. It's kind of in a point, and they're walking away from you. And I've walked past that a couple times, and it's a little unsettling as you walk it, but this time we walked in there, and there's a wall on the side, and the wall looks like the Vietnam Memorial. Everybody's familiar with that one. It has all the names of those that perished in Vietnam. But in the Korean Memorial, it's faces. It's etched faces in this black wall that as you walk past it, you know, you're going so fast, all of a sudden you look over, and it looks like people are in the wall. Like, it's really unsettling. But the inscription at the top of that memorial was, "Freedom is not free." Walked a little farther. I promise, I'm not going to take you on a whole tour, but we went up to the Lincoln Memorial was the next one. And again, stood in there a couple of times, saw that there's the inscription behind Lincoln is kind of familiar. But I never realized before the inscriptions on either side. One is his second inaugural speech, and the other side is the Gettysburg Address. Again, these things that, you know, you go once, you don't notice. You go a second time, you kind of see it. Lastly, we walked down those steps around another, coincidentally, this wasn't a Sunday, this was Saturday morning, there's a group singing Christmas songs, Christian Christmas songs, like the real Christmas carols, standing in front of the reflecting pool. Masks on, it was freezing cold, you couldn't even see who was behind any of this stuff, but there they are singing at the base of the memorial. And again, you're just moved at this experience. And then we walked through the Vietnam Memorial, and that's where my father-in-law lost it. And I asked him if I could say that, and he said, "It's fine." He had never been there before. That is another haunting place to be, just name after name after name. And as you walk across the mall, you can't see that place. It's a sunken memorial. You walk down into the memorial to actually experience that space. And it's literally just, you head down, you make about a 30-degree turn, and you start heading back up, and it's one big, whatever it is, black granite, black marble, I don't even know, with all of those names etched in there. But next to each panel was a Christmas wreath. And in front of at least half of the panels, I think there's 50 of them, there was pictures of the vets that had passed away with "Merry Christmas, brother so-and-so." "Merry Christmas, Dad." I mean, I was picking on my father-in-law for crying, and here I'm doing it. It's when you experience these things the second time or the third time or the fourth time, you see things a little bit differently. And that really struck me. And what it made me think was, for New Year's, we always have these resolutions, right? Everybody has maybe not everybody, but most everyone has a resolution for the New Year. And I looked at it so many times as, close the book on the past year, let me forget everything about the past year and move on to something better. Like Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, I know I'm taking it out of context, and pressing forward to those things that are before. And what struck me this year was that it's not wise for us to forget those things which are behind. Because if we do, we lose the opportunity to build upon them. We lose the opportunity to learn of those things that we have seen before. And what this passage here in 2 Peter speaks to that so clearly. Peter introduces the topic. He introduces himself to the scattered brethren again. Verses 1 through 4, I'm just going to read a little bit of it again. You know, hammers to them here about making their election sure. "Simon Peter, a servant to them that have obtained like precious faith. You believers who have received that gift of salvation through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you
through the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
This introduction of you have received all that is necessary for you to live redeemed, successful, pick the next word you want to use, Christian lives. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. You have everything you need, but besides this, I want you to do the following. It's necessary for you to do the following. And then he adds a list here. And I'm going to confess that in the past, I have often not paid attention to the first one that he notes. He says, add to your faith virtue. And then says, add to virtue knowledge and to knowledge temper. And the other ones are all very self-explanatory to us, I think. Knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, kindness, and charity. And we can almost top it off at the end. You know, the capstone of all of these is charity. And if you can add charity, then all the others will fall. But what struck me this time was virtue. I'm like, how would I define virtue? I want to read, I just wrote down how it says it in the Amplified. Not that whole verse, but just the beginning. Verse 5. For this reason, adding diligence to the divine promises, employ effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, and the definition that they use is excellence, resolution, and Christian energy. Add to your faith excellence, resolution, Christian energy. And to your excellence, resolution, Christian energy, add knowledge and temperance. And I'm not going to focus on the other ones today, because that one of virtue struck me just in the way that the actual definition, at least the Bible scholars were using, was excellence, resolution, and energy. Christian energy. Why do we sometimes lack Christian energy? Or what is that? I had to wonder for myself, what is Christian energy? I think oftentimes Peter was writing this letter to them because he knew exactly what the question or the concern was, is that there is a level of contentedness that we have in knowing that our election is sure, knowing that our names are written in the book, knowing that our God, or our King reigns on high, and that he intercedes for us and ministers to our needs and is there to carry each burden. But what Peter was imploring them to was, it's not okay just to sit there. It's not okay just to have those things. We need to have an energy and an excellence and a resolution to add these other things, to develop these attributes of our Christian walk in our lives so that we can be those that, so that we wouldn't, in verse 9 it says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. We need to do these things, in verse 8 it says, so that we might abound and make you that you are neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity in a new year. We have an opportunity every day. Every time we wake up, we should be able to have this resolution every morning as we would look into the Word and God giving us direction for the day to foster an energy, to be resolved that this day is going to be a day where I develop these different attributes, that I develop in my relationship with God and in my relationship with those I encounter, that there is going to be a heightened level of faith, that there's going to be a heightened level of knowledge, a heightened level of temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. Every interaction is not going to have the same measure of all these pieces, but in every interaction we have, there needs to be an effort and a resolve, a resolution to exercise ourselves in these ways. Tell us we haven't had opportunity to exercise patience. Tell me you haven't had an opportunity to exercise temperance. Tell me you haven't had an opportunity to exercise knowledge or brotherly kindness. We have all absolutely had a chance to exercise charity. But sometimes I think we don't always see it because we're not coming past the same place again. I'll give you the example that kind of reinforced this to me again yesterday. I would mention to Dad this morning, when you leave work on a Thursday afternoon, realizing you've got 2 full days where you don't have anything else you need to do, you don't have to worry about work, nobody's going to call. I said, I'm going to get a bunch of projects done around the house. We didn't get any projects done around the house in the last 2 days. But we had 2 of the best days I think we've ever had. I can't completely recall what we did on Friday, but that doesn't matter. We did a lot of stuff. We cleaned, I cooked. That was one thing. I had to get the last of my resolution. The other resolution I have for this year, I had to really have one last hurrah making some things at home, and then now we have to stop that. But anyway, completely off the tracks now. Got up yesterday morning, and we said, let's just go. Let's just leave the house and do things with the kids. And one of the things that we wanted to do, because at the fall outing this year, Max was really upset that he didn't get to go see the falls. He didn't get to go down the path to the falls. It was his own fault why he didn't get to, but he didn't get to do that. So we said, we'll do that yesterday. We're not big hikers. You all know that. We got up to Pratt's Falls, and the gate is shut. Not just Camp Rockaway, but the main gate is shut, and everybody is parked. There's probably 15 cars that are parked right there at the main gate. And immediately, I'm already calculating, like, okay, I know how far it is to walk from here to the falls. Then I can't even remember what it takes to get from the top of the falls down to the bottom. But we were prepared, and we dressed for it, and we walked down there. We got to the top of the falls in the main park area, and it sounded like Niagara Falls. With all the rain and the ice that we had over the last couple days, the creek was high, and the pond was high, and it was roaring. I mean, like, I've never heard it before. Mind you, I've never been to Pratt's Falls in the middle of the winter. But seeing this place that I've been to 35 times, more than that because I've been there other times, but 35 times I've seen it basically at the same time. I've seen it with the leaves changing. I've climbed down, even though it says you're not supposed to, and I've gone, and it's usually trickling to some effect in the late fall. This sucker was roaring. I mean, it was terrifying looking at the top of that falls. And then we decided, well, no, we're going to walk down. So if you know that path at all, it says Falls Walk. It's only 1/2 mile, but it's 1/2 mile stairs. And it's 1/2 mile of stairs that were put there in the 30s that are not exactly consistent. And there was an ice storm on Friday night. So you talk about treacherous. I've run up and down that hill a number of times in my life. I've climbed up that hill. I've never been so careful with my steps walking down those stairs as I was yesterday. A completely different perspective. But it was gorgeous. We got to the bottom, that same spot that we've all taken 50 pictures or whatever, and every youth group for the last 50 years has been down there. And we're looking across, and again, I'll show you the pictures later. I took a video of it too, because I couldn't believe how much water was coming across that place. And like Niagara Falls does, the spray freezes on the sides of the ravine or whatever there. It was gorgeous. But it was just another reminder that there are things, this is a place that I've been so many times at the same time, and it always looks the same. And this was a chance to go there in a time that I've never been before and see it in a completely different perspective. And to see the beauty that is there in the frigid desolation that existed, how beautiful that place is. And God just reminding me again in a different way that it's okay for us to have to go back to the same spots. It's okay for us to have to go back and make some of the same experiences in 2021 that we did in 2020.
But make sure that we're doing it with the mindset of, what am I going to add to this situation? What am I going to exercise in my walk in this coming year? When I get to that scenario, when whatever it is, I don't want to get into the specifics because everybody's specifics are different. But the challenges and the frustrations that you resolved at the end of 2020 to not have happened in 2021, the interactions that you resolved not to have in this coming year, when they show up again, what am I going to add to it that will allow me to foster that Christian energy, that resolution, that excellence, that will allow me to go just not from virtue, but to temperance, to patience, to godliness, to brotherly kindness, to charity? How am I going to exercise those things in this coming year so that, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the kingdom, into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Interestingly, I found that the word established there is used in a couple other places and is changed to be strengthened. So just listen to it that way for a second. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be strengthened in the present truth.
Apostle Paul was not trying to give a cop-out when he said, forgetting those things which are behind. That has a purpose, and it makes sense, and there's a sermon that'll be preached about that at some point again. But we do ourselves a disservice if we just seek to resolve to forget about the past and press on to the future. It's important for us to take those markers along the way. Go back to the places. You know, you don't even have to resolve to go back to the places because they'll take you back there anyways. But when we find ourselves in those similar scenarios or similar situations that we did in the past year and are seeking for a direction or for a peace in it or for a victory or encouragement in those moments, don't stand there waiting for God to change the circumstance and resolve it. His direction to us was, your election is sure. You've been given these things. First four verses of that chapter talk about how our names are written in the book. The next bunch of verses says, okay, since they are, here's what you need to do with it. Do something with this. You got a gift. Do something with it. It's as if we were given this present on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, however you get yours, and you just left it in a box. You possessed it but didn't build it. If it's a Lego set, how fun is the Lego set if it's just a bunch of pieces sitting in the bags? Lots of Lego analogies in our house lately. But it would be foolish not to exercise those things. If you got a Peloton this year for Christmas, it looks pretty silly just sitting there by itself. You got to use it. We have to use and exercise with resolution, excellence, and Christian energy the gifts that we've been given. And pray that maybe in this year, whether it's going past some memorials that you saw already or going to see a place that you only see in one season and experience it in a different way, allow God to use some of those things to remind us of the growth and the development and the energy that we need to apply and are blessed to be able to apply to our walk with Him.